Let me lead us in prayer for today's message. Lord Jesus, thank you for each one that's here today. You know, others, a part of this congregation, were not able to be here for various reasons, whether sickness or traveling, and we pray for your mercy on them, oh God. We ask you, God, for Greenhouse Community Church. We pray Acts 9, verse 31, that you would continue to give this church a time of peace, strengthen this church, encourage this church by the Holy Spirit. Help this church, God, to grow in numbers, really amazed at the power of God. And may today's message be done with the demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. It is all in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Johnny Lechner finally graduated from college. The University of Wisconsin made him graduate from college. Johnny had the ability to turn a four-year college degree, not into 6 years, but into 12 years. He turned a four-year degree into 12 years, and it wasn't because he was having financial hardship. It was just that Johnny loved college. He didn't want to grow up. Johnny loved to sleep in. Johnny loved to cut classes. Even though he was almost 30 years old, he liked to go to the college parties at the University of Wisconsin. And for his final year of school, his 12th year in college, his goal was actually to go on two spring break trips. 30 years old, he just didn't want to grow up. Believe it or not, there are Christians like that. They're very, very comfortable being very, very comfortable. But as Christians, we need to grow up. I think about what the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he says what? But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, God doesn't want us to live a status quo Christian life. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature as Christians. And at Greenhouse Community Church, we have a clear discipleship plan in place to help you to grow and mature as Christians. The Bible talks about this in Matthew 22. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and this is on page 957 of your chair Bibles. Matthew 22, page 957 of your chair Bibles. Now today, we're going to talk about our discipleship plan. And you may be saying, well, why is a plan so important? Well, think about it this way. If I went to the principal of the school in Katy, where my children will be attending next year, if I said to the principal, what is your plan to educate my children? If the principal said, I don't know, there is no plan, we wouldn't put them in that school. Another example, what if the owner of the Houston Texans came to the head coach of the Texans and said, what's your plan to win games this year? What if the coach said, I don't know, there is no plan? Now, granted, sometimes the Texans play that way, but that's another message. When I was in Iraq as a U.S. Army chaplain, what if then President George W. Bush said to General Casey, what's your plan to win Iraq? What if the head general said, there is no plan? That person would be relieved of command. No, you need a plan in a public school, a football team, in waging war, and most importantly, in making disciples for Christ. So what I want to do in today's message, our discipleship plan, points 1, 2, and 3, are from the book Simple Church by Tom Rainer, but the baseball diamond is something that's original to me with these points. So what I want to do is take us to first base, second base, third base, and home plate. And while we're going through this message, track where you are in our discipleship plan. Again, the purpose is to help you grow and mature as a Christian. So what's first base? First base, we want to love God through worship services. We want to love God through worship services. Look in your Bibles at Matthew 22, verse 37 and verse 38. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." So let's stop right there. Jesus is talking about loving God. Now, the context for this passage of Scripture, the Jewish leaders are basically trying to trick and trap Jesus. Out of the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, they came up with 613 different commandments, 248 positive commandments, one for every part of the body, and 365 negative commandments, one for each day of the year. So you add those two up together, that's 613 commandments, and what they would do is they lived a very boring life. They would debate of the 613 different commandments, what is the most important? So that's basically what's going on in the context of this passage. They're basically asking Jesus, of the 613 different commandments, what is numero uno? What's number one? And Jesus has this incredible ability to take the complex and make it very, very simple. He's basically saying, of the 613 different commandments, the most important is to love God. It's to love God, and we want to love God through worship services. Let me illustrate. In 1610 in Virginia, believe it or not, they actually had a law that if you did not attend church on three consecutive Sundays, you'd face the death penalty. Let me say that one more time. In Virginia, in 1610, if someone did not attend church for three consecutive Sundays, they would face the death penalty. Now, I think we all would agree that that is way too extreme. But in America today, we've gone to the other extreme. That on any given Sunday, and the fact that you're here today says a lot about you. Thank you for being here. But on any given Sunday in America today, did you know that only 17% of Americans go to church? The fact that you're here today says a lot about you. I want to encourage you to continue that, to keep that up. That says a lot about you. But only 17% of Americans are attending church on a typical Sunday, and yet we wonder why we're seeing the spiritual and moral decline of this nation. So I want to encourage us. The fact you're here today says a lot about you. Continue that. We want to love God through worship services. And I promise you this, at our worship service here now, and one day, by the grace of God, as we continue to grow, we're going to add more worship services. But what's going to happen? Different Sundays, different texts that we're looking at, but the common factor is every week at Greenhouse Community Church, you're going to do what? You're going to hear music that praises the Lord and messages that preach the Word. Music that praises the Lord and messages that preach the Word. So first base, we want to love God through worship services. Second base, we want to love people through small groups. Look in your Bibles at verse 39 and verse 40. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So again, the context of this passage, this Jewish leader is basically saying, of the 613 different commandments found in the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, what's most important? And Jesus says to love God, and the second most important, again, Jesus has that ability to make the complex very simple. He's saying the second most important is to love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, love people. A way that we can love people in the context of this church is through small groups. Now, years ago, when I graduated from Wheaton College in Chicago, I headed off to Fort Lewis, Washington, in Washington State, and I was being trained as an infantry officer. Now, many of my classmates, we ended up serving as captains in the wars of Iraq and also Afghanistan, but I wasn't an infantry officer. I got a transfer to the chaplaincy. But several years later in the state of Washington, you may have seen this on the news, there was this violent windstorm. And what happened is that these certain trees that were standing by themselves in the windstorm, when the winds came, they were blown over. But the trees in Washington State that were close to each other, where their roots were intertwined with other roots, they were able to withstand the storms in Washington State. And the same principle is true in our Christian life. When the storms come, and they will. In fact, some of us are here today, and we're going through a storm right now in our family. Or we're going through a storm right now in our finances, or our physical health, or our job, or something entirely different. But chances are, many of us right now are going through some storms in our life. And when the storms of life come, how critical it is in the Christian life not to be a Lone Ranger Christian, but to be interconnected, intertwined with other Christians. And that's exactly what I believe happened for many of you during Hurricane Harvey. I remember watching the testimony, even before I came to this church, of Kim Thompson in the church talking about when Hurricane Harvey hit, that what did they do as a family? They got together and they stayed at someone else's home, and they did what? They were laughing, they were crying, and they were praying. In other words, they were sharing their life with someone else while they were going through a storm. And the storms of life are going to hit you. I know that may not be very encouraging, but all of us are going to go through storms. We're all going to have Hurricane Harveys in our life. In fact, I believe that all of us here today are either coming out of a storm, or in the midst of a storm, or there's a storm on the horizon, and we're not even aware of it yet. And how critical it is in the Christian life that we're connected with other Christians to encourage us and to listen and to pray for us and to build us up in the Lord Jesus when we're going through the storms of life. That's why at Greenhouse, we have a number of different small groups. In fact, this morning you were handed a list of our different small groups. And basically, after Labor Day, we're going to have close to 13 different small groups in this church for you to be a part of. Now, don't look at it yet, because I don't want some of you to focus on that and miss the message this morning. But let me just highlight a couple. Now, many of you know that my goal here is to teach through all 66 books of the Bible. That's going to take me about 10 to 12 years to do that. But some of the elders in the church are offering a small group on Tuesday nights, and it starts in June, and you're going to be provided with a great dinner, a video series taking you through the Bible, and they're going to do in a few months what it's going to take me to do 10 to 12 years. So I encourage you, maybe you're saying, you know what, Jeff? I don't really know that much about the Bible. Well, I'm so glad you're here. But I want to encourage you to join that small group that's offered on Tuesday nights by our elders. You're going to have a free dinner that's going to be great, a video. You're going to look at different passages of the Bible. They'll tell you the page number that it's on, and then you can discuss it. But they are going to give you a survey of God's word in a few month time period. So it's a new small group that we're starting. I also want to encourage you, starting in June, on the second Friday of the month, we're going to start a Christian movie night. So you can invite your friends. It's an opportunity to watch a Christian movie, an opportunity at the end of the movie for me to share the gospel. But that's an opportunity. We're going to have free popcorn for you, but that's a great family small group that you can be a part of. That's no charge to any of you. So those are just some of the highlights that I want to focus on with our different small groups. But it's critical as we grow as a church that you're plugged in and connected into a small group. The second base, we want to love people through small groups. Third base, we want to serve the world through ministry teams. Serve the world through ministry teams. Now, you don't need to turn there, but in the very next book of the Bible, and I'm going to be in Mark's Gospel in 2019, but in the very next book of the Bible, the book of Mark, which I'll be preaching through next year, Jesus says this in Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now think about that. That has implications for your life today as a Christian. Because probably, as a Christian, there are times in your life that you're like, am I really growing as a Christian? Or am I just status quo? Am I growing? Am I status quo, or am I even backsliding? And probably you know people in your life that have actually been backsliding. Years ago, they were on fire for Christ, but it seems like they've lost their enthusiasm, their passion for Christ. They're no longer interested in the things of God. It's almost like they're just taking steps backwards. And in some circles, we call that backsliding. What about you? Where are you? And what Jesus says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, I believe has implications for your life. You can know whether or not you're growing by just examining the words of Jesus in Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know how you can tell? It's very simple. There's nothing complicated about this. You know how you can really tell if you're growing as a Christian, you're becoming more Christ-like? Do you have that desire in your heart to serve others in the body of Christ? There's nothing complicated about it. And so many of you are really growing as Christians because you are serving. But it's very simple to tell whether or not you're growing as a Christian. Is there that desire in your heart to serve others in the context of the local church? Because again, the more we become like Christ, the less it is about me, myself, and I, my desires, my preferences, my wants, the more it is about Lord Jesus Christ, I am your servant. How can I serve you in the context of the local church? And so many of you are serving. Be encouraged. That is a sign that you're what? You're growing. You're maturing. You're becoming more like Christ because he wanted to serve others. And that's a sign of someone that's growing and maturing and becoming more Christ-like. And in the handout that you were given this morning, you'll see different areas at Greenhouse Church where you can be serving in the ministry and people that you can be contacting if you'd like to join that ministry team. So third base, we want to serve the world through ministry teams. And then finally today, home plate. Home plate, evangelize through the good news. Evangelize through the good news. And it's interesting, again, in the Gospel of Mark that I'll be preaching through in 2019, Jesus says in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. He didn't say to a select few, he said, preach the good news to everyone. And think about the implications of that. Because sometimes Christians have the perception of always being negative and pessimistic. Well, think about it. What does Jesus say? Go and preach the good news. We have the good news. So much of the news out there today is negative news. It's discouraging news. Just take a look when you're in the convenience store today and you see the Sunday morning Houston paper. Chances are there's going to be negativity on the front page. But as Christians, we have the good news, the gospel of salvation. And what does Jesus say? Preach the good news to a select few? He doesn't say that. He says, preach the good news to everyone. I believe God can use this church as a strategic church for evangelization. And he can use us to reach masses and masses of people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're sharing the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me illustrate. D. James Kennedy was fresh out of seminary. He was married. He had a little daughter. And he went to pastor this church of about 50 or 60 people in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, called Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. It was about 50 or 60 people, and he did his very best preaching, and the church grew from about 50 down to 35, and he was so discouraged. And he would challenge the congregation. He would tell people out there in the pew, he said, I want you to evangelize. But in the back of their minds, they're thinking, I hear you, but I don't know what to say. So he said, God, you got to give me something. And he prayed about it. And that was the birth of evangelism explosion. And it's a very simple, clear presentation of the gospel. I took it growing up in this denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, when I was in high school. I found it to be very effective. But as your pastor, I want you to know, in the years to come, I want to train this congregation in a very simple, straightforward, evangelistic presentation of the good news, the gospel of Jesus, that as a church in the years to come, we're going to be winning people to Christ on a daily basis. And my prayer, my vision, is what the Bible says in the book of Acts. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Now, we're seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ, but I look forward to the day that we have at least 365 people in a year call on Jesus Christ through the witness and the evangelism of this church. I believe God wants to use this church in a very strategic way in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So track with me, because in the years to come, I'm going to train us. But I also want to encourage us every week, you know, we teach the Bible and we give people an opportunity to call on Jesus for salvation. Hopefully when you came in this morning, you were also handed, and they're out there on the pew bench, a Route 66 card. Because you know that each week we teach the Bible and we give people an opportunity to call on Jesus for salvation. In fact, 2 weeks from today, when we're having that cookout, I'm going to give a special evangelistic message on the words of Jesus, who do you say I am? So I'm going to preach on that 2 weeks from today, and I want to encourage us. In the next 2 weeks, I want everyone in the church to invite at least two people for that special Sunday as I preach a message on the words of Jesus, who do you say I am? Then after this service, we're going to have a cookout together. So it's something that all of us can be doing in the next 2 weeks. So home plate, we want to evangelize through the good news. I titled today's message, Our Discipleship Plan at Greenhouse Community Church. And it's very simple. It can be illustrated by the baseball diamond. First base, we want to love God through worship service. That's what you're at right now. Second base, we want to love people through small groups. You have a listing that you are handed out, and I want to encourage everyone here. We have small groups throughout the week to join a small group. Third base, we want to serve the world through ministry teams. And also in your handout, you can see different areas of the church where you can be serving in a ministry team. And then home plate, that's evangelism. Evangelize through the good news. So there's nothing complicated about it. We want to see more and more people come to faith in Jesus Christ and then discipled through this simple process. Now, the Houston Astros are a great baseball team, and they're used to winning. And when they win games, it simply means they touched home plate more than the other team touched home plate during the game. Houston Astros are a great team, but they're not perfect. They still lose games. But did you know that to be on God's team, He demands perfection? He says, be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. To be on God's team, you've got to be perfect. The problem is all of us have sinned. We've all committed errors. And the penalty for committing those errors is spiritual death. That's talking about hell. I don't believe God wants anyone to go to hell. He wants everyone to be saved. But to join God's team, you need to admit that you're a sinner, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. Only His shed blood can wash away your sin. Call on Jesus for salvation and decide to follow Jesus no matter what the cost. So with all eyes closed and heads bowed, maybe you're saying, today, Jeff, I want to call on Jesus. I've never made that decision before, but I want to call on Jesus for salvation. So with all eyes closed and heads bowed, maybe you're saying, Jeff, today, I've never made that decision to call on Him for salvation, but today, I want to call on Jesus. If that's you, would you slip up your hand? Let's pray together. God, thank You for Your word and how relevant it is to our lives. And we're trusting You, God, that You're going to use this church very powerfully in evangelism to reach more and more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Bless our time as we go to the Lord's Supper. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.